Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett. I'm your host for the evening, and it is now my privilege and honor to turn it over to the host of the show tonight, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, Terry. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
You know, I've been gone for a week. It seems like it's been longer.
Seems like it's been an eternity.
It seems like a while, yeah. Hey, I want to remind everyone that you can call us here tonight at 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you during this broadcast. And if you got anything to say at all, give us a call. I'd love to field any questions. And just keep it clean, keep it nice, and we'll all have a good time. This again is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number is 740-494-2222, or you can visit us on the web at prospectccf.com. We meet on Sunday morning for Sunday school at 9:30. Service time is 10:30. We have youth group at 6:30 along with evening service. We also have midweek Bible studies, and Team Kid has started, which is the first and the third Tuesday of each month from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. It's a great recreation and teaching time for the kids from ages 3 to 5th grade. Bring them in and let them have a ball while you go do something. We've got responsible adults there. And also during that same time is Pizza with Pastor, which is something I conduct, and it is at the Sporty's Pizza Place in Prospect, and I take all the kids and feed them pizza, and we sit around and talk about whatever comes up. So, there you go.
How has that been as far as, like, registry? Have you had quite a few? I mean, has it been quite a few as far as the Team Kid and everything?
Yeah, Team Kid went really well last week.
We had quite
a few kids, and actually, the first week for Pizza with Pastor kicked off really well,
great,
too.
Great.
So, it was really good.
Because, you know, the sports activities are winding down now.
Kids
are going to be needing something to do. So, this is, guys, gals, this is a great chance to...
It really is. I'll tell you, Mom and Dad, it's a great time to sneak off to the store for an hour.
Yeah.
Or whatever else you may need to do.
You know, now if you want to do a little early Christmas shot, you know, or something.
There you go. Which reminds me, Terry, we're also kicking off we'll be starting to collect new and gently used things for Christmas. We have our Christmas gift giving every year. We usually take care of about 65 to 70 kids in the Elgin School District area.
They take the stuff to the church, Pastor?
Take the stuff to the church. You can call us at the church number. Again, that was 740-494-2222. But what we do is on the first, it's usually around the first Saturday or second Saturday, December, on a Saturday morning, everyone will come in, they'll register and come in, and they will listen to a short Christmas program. That's a requirement. And from after the Christmas program, everyone goes in the order in which they registered, and they go through the building, and all the gifts are out on tables. They walk through, and someone helps them shop for the children according to their registry and what they put on there. And then when they're all done, they come out, and all the gifts are wrapped for them and labeled for them. They're ready to go. And we have stuff from infant age all the way up through teenagers, and it's a really, really a good time. And it's a great. We have cookies and Christmas music. It's just a ball. So that's a great.
So it's like a one-stop shop for them, and they're all done. Then I mean, it's
it really is. It really is. And it's we try to also reach people. And I want you to listen out there because this is kind of important. We try to reach people that no one else is reaching. And let me explain what I mean by that. A lot of times people that are able to be on assistance, they have different outlets they can go to, whether it's a Secret Santa type thing or there's just a lot. There's different programs. And usually Children's Services will put them sometimes in touch with Toys for Tots or different organizations that are helping certain people. We do help those people, but our main focus tries to be on people that are working and just getting by, paying their bills, and if they buy Christmas, they're not going to be able to pay their bills that month. And we try to reach in and bridge that gap right there so they can still have a good time with their family and feel like they're giving gifts to their family and enjoying Christmas, but yet they're also able to pay their bills and not get behind that month.
Now I have a question too. Would food be okay? I mean, you guys do food too for these family?
Yes, and that's good you brought that up. Usually when people come in to register, at the same time they also write down if they would like to receive a Christmas meal basket, and in that we include enough, depending on the size of the family, we include enough to make a Christmas meal. So that's really kind of an important thing too, and
that's included in this registration. Is that
yes? Okay. Exactly. Okay. Now I'll be honest with you. Some families say we're covered for food; we don't need any.
Okay.
And we have had families say we need food but don't need gifts. So you know, it's nice to help people where the need lies.
Okay.
So we try to also have there at the same time. Coats, if we have any, and mittens and hats and things to go
on. So any of that stuff is an acceptable donation? You know?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, anything you think your children might like or your grandchildren or nieces or nephews.
Somebody's outgrown something or something?
Yeah, but I will. I'll caution this. When it comes to Christmas, it needs to be really nice.
Right.
And that's fair. We couldn't accept it unless it had been cleaned and folded and ready to go.
Exactly. I mean, that makes sense.
It's just such an undertaking anyway. To take that stuff and do things separately would be quite difficult. But you know what? We have been so blessed by so many different organizations and people that will think this time of year. You know, you never know when you're going to have a bad year and they're not going to do it, but I would encourage anyone to help that can. So anyway, we're looking forward to that.
Now, how are you guys too, like volunteer-wise? You need people to help?
Yes, absolutely. You know, if there's anybody...
Sometimes that gets overlooked, you know.
It does, and sometimes people are looking for something to do.
Absolutely.
To help, and if they'll get a hold of us ahead of
time...
Just
call you?
Yeah, just call me. We'll do a little pre-screening with them.
Good.
See who they are and what they want, and yes. We've even had people that will go shopping to buy some toys for kids with their children and then bring their children to drop them off to show them we're doing this for someone else.
Okay.
And sometimes it's hard for them to understand that, but they get it eventually.
That's good.
And I know one family in our town does that pretty regularly. They want their kids to understand that it's
awesome.
A season of
that's
giving,
awesome.
Not just
yeah,
taking.
That's so, awesome, man.
Yeah, it really is. It's a neat time of year. It's always a neat time of year in Prospect, I think. But we have a lot of neat things going on. We have Halloween coming up. And on Beggar's Night, in front of our church at 209 East Water Street, we'll be serving hot dogs and candy and coffee and hot chocolate. We do that every year. And then across the street, the Lutheran Church is going to be, I actually think they're having brats this year. They're going to one-up us, yeah.
Jeez.
But brats, and the fire department sets up across the street from us with our fire dog and in the costume.
Oh.
And they give out lots of candy. It's just a fun family town night, and you know, that's something. We try to keep it as local as we can because, boy, can you get overrun if you don't.
Yeah, come hungry, but, though, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's right. See, the thing is, they do it so early now because they want the kids to try and beat the dark.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of parents come home, and they don't have time to feed those kids.
Sure.
So we decided about 5-6 years ago, let's feed them. So... It's a huge help.
Good idea.
Parents know we can go there first, grab them a dog, and you know they're good for the night.
Yeah.
When they get home, we can take them home, wash the makeup off their face, and put them to bed.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? I want to talk about something tonight that has been on my heart just a little bit, and it's about how we treat people. And you know, we've talked about this before, but it's about I want to look at a broader range of how we treat people and what our personal responsibility is, and I'm a little concerned lately. Because I see great influence happening by people that either don't get it or they have a different agenda than what the American spirit is. But there's a lot of influence from those people. I'm going to read something that my wife posted today. She doesn't know I'm going to do this. But I'll read it. You may have read it before somewhere. It says... Something to ponder. The United States has become a place where entertainers and professional athletes are mistaken for people of importance. Now, that may be a little harsh, but really, they're entertainers. I mean, they are. They're entertainers, and that's important to entertain.
Yeah.
But not on a grand scale of someone that I would want to. I'm not going to send my student to study under.
I was going to say maybe on a level of importance. You know, yeah, they're not.
So, it goes on to say, I've needed a doctor, I've needed a teacher, I need farmers every day. I've needed an auto mechanic, a plumber, a house painter, and a lot of other people every day. But I've never even once needed a pro athlete, a media personality, or a Hollywood entertainer for anything. Think about that. But yet, we seem to be letting them take center stage when there's something to talk about of importance in our culture. And in thinking about this, I want to go to some scripture real quickly. Of course, I'm Pastor Steve, and that's why I would go to scripture, right? Without scripture, I don't have anything to base anything on, in my opinion. So, I'm going to go to James chapter 2 and read for just a bit, okay? My brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes also comes in, if you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here in a good place, and yet you say to the poor person, stand over there, or sit here on the floor by my footstool, haven't you made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you have dishonored the poor. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. If, however, you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you're a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Ah, isn't that wonderful? Mm. Reading that, it really puts us all back on our heels a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because we are to treat everyone. The key phrase in there is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, think about that. Let's put those words into reality. Into reality, that means if you're hungry, your neighbor's hungry. What would you do if you were hungry? Your neighbor doesn't have a ride to work because his car broke down. What could you do? What would you do if you didn't have a ride to work? You'd want a ride, wouldn't you? What about the fact that you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And that he came, and because of that, if you're guilty of breaking one law, you broke them all. And that's why he came to pay for sin for everyone. If you want someone to tell you that, wouldn't you want to tell someone that? Right? Huh? I remember, let me see if I get the names right. There were two, these thoughts come into my head, you know. There were two Las Vegas comedians, Penn and Teller. And the big guy's Penn, right?
Yeah. Teller's the guy that I think never talks or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that met him backstage after one of the shows. And he said, Mr. Penn, I got to tell you, he said, I know you don't believe in God and you're an atheist. And he said, yeah, I mean, you're pretty obvious from stuff he says. He said, but I want to know you to know something, that you've been on my heart. And he said, I've been praying for you. And my prayer is someday you know the awesome God that I do. And they had a conversation. And it was Penn that talked about this later. And he said, you know what? He said, yes, I'm an atheist. But if Christians really believe what they say they do, like this man does, they should be doing exactly what he said. Because that man truly believed in his heart that if Penn didn't accept the Lord, that he had no chance of going to heaven. So he had the desire to go tell him. And that's part of the thing about taking personal responsibility to love those around you.
That was going to be my question. Is it their responsibility to do
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, it's a responsibility. And we do that in a lot of different ways. We do that by example. We do that by our lifestyle, by who we are. And we also have overt ways in which we do that and reach out to people. But helping people without truth behind it from a Christian perspective, in our view, is just cheap charity. Because the truth of the matter is, feed them because they need it, but don't forget to tell them the truth while you're there. You see my point? But what I want to look at is some of the things that I'm looking at culturally in our world. And it's really been bothering me enough that I stay up thinking about it, not worrying too much. I know God's in control, but yet he lays the concern on my heart to think about these things. And I know we have an election coming up, and we've got two parties warring back and forth. And for some reason, we get caught up in this stuff. And we let it take us away from our common sense thinking sometimes to getting caught up in the bitterness, to getting caught up in the anger. I have a lady that I listen to sometimes that everything she says, for the most part, I agree with. But if I listen to her, I find myself within an hour or two getting angry. And that just invades my spirit. I can't watch the morning news anymore. I get angry. And it invades my spirit. Now, why is that? Because you see the injustices, and you want people to know the truth. You know, we paint things with such a broad brush when we speak and we talk, and I'm guilty of it myself. It's like a statement like this. Maybe I'll say, none of these kids want to work anymore. Now, that's a broad statement. Now, what I'm trying to say is, there's a whole lot of kids that don't want to work. But that's not true at all. There's some kids that are out there that just work their tails off. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to be careful of the tongue and that we don't, we need to qualify what we say. I hear a statement sometimes, you can't understand black people because you're not black. It's a black thing. They're right. I'm not black. But the point is that maybe you can't understand whites because you've not been in a white role and how they look at a situation too. Or Chinese or Arabic or whatever it may be. My point being, we need to start taking personal responsibility to love and care for one another and not worry about what all the talking heads, the politicians, and the celebrities have to say. And I'm going to give you a little bit of an example here. It's real easy for those people that are prominent to stir up a bunch of people and get them upset and excited. There was a situation that I listened to on the radio a couple weeks ago where a celebrity had a huge impact on people that were going to vote, young people especially, and had them all fired up. But when you deciphered what she actually said, she told a lot of truth. But the problem was, by omitting certain things, she also told a lot of untruth. And we see this regularly. I've been watching commercials where people say, we're tired of the gutter politics and the slandering, and then they go on to slander. I mean, like, do you see what you just did, why no one trusts you? You know, you just, I'm going to tell you the truth as I tell you a lie. And what I want—I don't want to get political about that. What I'm saying about that is, we as people need to take personal responsibility to find out truth, to look for, to vote and do things in our conscience, not in what someone whipped us up to think and made us angry and run to the polls, no matter what side of anything we're on. You know, if you would listen to our news media, I'm not talking about you guys. You know, I am talking about the major news networks and major cable networks. I don't think that you get a total picture of America. You get a picture they want to deliver to you. This whole thing about racism, and please understand, I know that racism's real. I know that it's not just black-white. It's also white-black. It's also yellow-black, yellow-white. It's also cultural. You know, all this started, a lot of where all this came from was, America's a huge melting pot. And because of that, people came from other nations with their own pride of who they were, proud to be an Italian-American, proud to be a Irish-American, proud to be whatever, a Brit, whatever you were, wherever you came from. My mother-in-law went to her grave waving the Welsh flag. She came over here after World War II, and she served in the British Land Army. She was Welsh through and through, and she would tell you about it. But because of that, because of human nature, it causes us to sometimes, if we're not feeling good about ourselves or we want to elevate ourselves, to slander someone else. You guys remember watching All in the Family? Maybe some of you out there that are old enough. What was Archie Bunker always calling people? Wops, dagos, coloreds, right? Where does that come from? That comes from falsely trying to elevate ourselves under false pretenses of who we really are by putting down somebody else. But see, the thing was, everybody did it, so it was not a big deal. And they could even joking in conversation back and forth and do it. You know what I mean? And maybe some of you may have experienced that before. Does it make them a terrible person? No, but it definitely makes them misguided, because everyone does it. I've been called several white slurs from black people that some of them were my friends, and they laugh when they're saying it. It's part of what, does it make it right? No. But is it going to, is the world just going to die when it happens? No, it's not. It should never happen. It was real interesting. You go into these cultural centers, in usually in real inner city areas, and it's real easy for people, spokespeople, to get people whipped up over something and stir the hatred. It's so easy to do. I want to tell you some of my experiences. And some of them came from, I just drove last night, yesterday morning, we left at 5 in the morning from an hour south of Tampa and drove straight home. That's a long drive. So if you guys think I'm nuts tonight, maybe it's a little bit of, yeah, but whatever. But anyway, I want to tell you something. I've been all around this country as in my adult life, and in towns and villages and on sales routes when I was a younger person. And I even took a few years and drove a truck, and I really experienced America. And I want to tell you something, folks. The America that I've seen is not the America I hear about on the news. You know, we see all the hatred in the inner city fighting and are led to believe that whites all hate blacks and blacks hate whites, and there's this huge cultural divide to get over. But let me tell you a little bit, and there is that too. I'm not saying there's not. This last week I was driving down south, and I was in the heart of Dixie. I was in Georgia. I was in Tennessee, Kentucky. And I was in, to give you an example, I was in this one restaurant, well, fast food place, if you want to call that a restaurant. I guess by our standards, that is, right, Terry? We're poor folks, too. But anyway, that's my idea of a restaurant. But anyway, I go in there, and we're in the heart of redneck heaven, right? I mean, we really are. And there's this guy standing at the counter. He was behind me. And the guy that came up to buy his food, if you looked up redneck in the dictionary, they had his picture. I mean, he was the epitome of redneck. I mean, from the dress, you know, to hot as blazes out, and he's wearing a flannel, and he just, I mean, come on. It was Ernest or something. The guy was there. But anyway, behind the counter working is a little African-American girl, and she's working, and I kind of stood back a minute, and it really struck me, because the first thing she said to him was, "Hello, how are you today?" And he said, "I'm great." He said, "How are you today?" And I don't remember, said something about, I don't remember what they said next, but they both kind of chuckled a little. And then she said, "You ready? Can I take your order?" He says, "Yes, ma'am." And he gave her the order, and he said, "Hey, thanks. He said, "Thank you very much, and you have a wonderful day." And she said, "You have a blessed day too, sir." This is a conversation between two people that don't know each other in the South. Okay? On the way down there, we stopped in a hotel because Steve was tired. And we at that time, we were in Tennessee. And the next morning, we got up to have the hotel serve breakfast. And there was a construction crew in there. And it was about evenly split black and white. And the couple of the bosses were black, a couple of them were white, some of the workers back and forth. I was watching these guys. I'm a people watcher. And I was watching these guys as they got their breakfast and sat with each other. They all intermingled and talked to each other like best friends. Okay? When I was in that same restaurant that I told you about where the girl was, I'm sitting at the table and I'm watching people. And a guy comes in, and he's wearing kind of just a leisure casual type thing, you know. And then he was white, Caucasian. And then there was an African-American man that was wearing a landscaping uniform. And the white guy started a conversation with him. And they stood there laughing and talking back and forth for 5 minutes. Didn't know each other. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, this is what goes on in America in so many places. I didn't make these things up. And I wasn't looking for examples. But if you listen to our media, and if you see what goes on in what's being put out there, you would think there's such hatred and divide that it's unbelievable. And there's not. We have some friends in a church in South Carolina, Second Baptist Church, and big church. And they have this huge food pantry they work with and clothing pantry. And they've got there's a lady in town that, bless her heart, she's tried for years to help her neighborhood out and run a little clothing store out of it, a half charity thing. They partnered up with her and they work together. And you know what? Culturally, people are working side by side, singing together, loving together. What in the world are we letting people sell us this bill of goods for in this country that everything's bad? Because it's not. And I've been reading about a lot of successful people lately, black and white. And they have one thing in common. They keep their eye on the prize. Many of them start with nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Some of them become very wealthy. Some become very powerful, very well known, and they have nothing. I know that the guy's a Republican. So if you're a Democrat, you go, "Oh yeah, right." You know, I look at Ben Carson. I mean, look at the guy's background. Ben Carson, you know, single mom. Grew up in the projects, goes on to be one of the most leading heart surgeons in the country. How did that happen? Because he kept his eye on the prize, and he didn't let all this negativity affect him. Are there situations where you're going to work to get ahead and you're going to get knocked down? But here's the problem, Terry, when we're always talking about this, if I'm a young person, if I'm a young black man, or a teenager, or a young black lady, and I'm going to school every day, and I know that I'm capable of good grades, and the teachers love me, and I got this great attitude, And I've got someone that's telling me constantly, it really doesn't matter, honey. You're not going to get anywhere because you're black. Wow. Do you realize how many people are being stymied because of that very message? Or white kids that are told, you're not going to, hang it up, buddy. You're from the wrong neighborhood. You know, you don't have a chance. You tell somebody they're worthless long enough, they'll start to believe it. And the problem is, when our own culture, when our own race keeps putting us down by telling us this, reminding us of this, reminding us of this, there's really no chance to get ahead because you're buying into it. And here's the problem that I see, and I'm going to put you out there to a test. I'm going to put you to a test, Terry. I want you to watch the news this week. Let me know when there's a good story about race. Tell me when there's a good story about white and black people coming together, loving one another, serving together, doing one another, helping other people, putting their neighbor before themselves together. You're not going to find it. Why? Because there is an agenda out there, and the media wants to stir the agenda. I just told you of three stories that were real simple with me in a couple of days. So if that happened with me, there's a lot of good stories out there. And I could go on and on from people I've known and worked with in my life that have been, they've been Jewish, they've been, and that's another thing too, if you think about it, you know, all the attack, the anti-Semitism, I don't understand. I mean, what I don't understand, Terry, have you ever looked at pictures of the Holocaust? You know, when I see pictures of little black children in poverty or little white children in poverty, it breaks my heart. I got a soft spot for kids. And because to me, they're so vulnerable and they can't help themselves. And I don't want to see them hurt, no matter who they are. And when I see pictures of those little kids in those concentration camps that were 12 years old and didn't weigh 20 pounds, that were literally being starved and worked to death, yanked away from their parents, it rips my heart out. So this isn't just a black-white issue. This is a heart issue in the world. And if you're going to have compassion for one group, you've got to have compassion for all groups. I kind of was thinking a little bit, and I talked to some people about my observations in the South. Now, it's real easy to go into poor Atlanta or one of those cities, or poor Detroit that's fallen apart, and get people really upset about their conditions and start stuff fighting and yelling in the streets and doing all these things. But the whole condition they're there is not just race. It's poor management of cities. It's poor opportunities across the board because you got white people in despair too. But my point is there's so much good going on in other areas where people have said, you know what, let's make something of ourselves. And the white people, I'll be honest with you, you guys call me naive if you want, but I've worked with side by side with black people that have been given opportunities over top of me because they were more qualified. And I've seen it with my own eyes, and I love them, and I don't think any different for it. You know, are there situations where black people are chosen second that were more qualified? You know there are. But it's the same thing. We can't continue this stuff in our culture where we don't decide to love one another and treat, like Jesus said here, when the poor guy comes in, you better not sit him at your feet or back here and put the rich person up here. I call that that's the same thing where there's a black and white issue or anything. Another interesting thing, I want you to mull this over a little bit. We paint everyone with the same brush. Like, well, black people are really discriminated against in this country, okay? There's a percentage of black people that are. It doesn't mean that all black people. White people are racist. Yep, there's some white racists. Does it mean they all are? You see what I mean? We got to stop this broad brush stuff. Another interesting one of the years, man, have you ever heard someone say this? Man, look what we did to the Indians. Now, I've heard that over and over again. Is it an honest statement? Yes, it is an honest statement. But all the Indians? Let me ask you something. And see, I thought about this as I went out west and was doing some traveling this summer, and I've read up on the Indians and studied our studied our culture a little bit. And it's real interesting. A lot of the Indians that were in the eastern United States, and some western, in the eastern United States, loved what was going on with the new people that came over and the opportunities that were given. And they assimilated into the culture. A lot of them did. Was the Trail of Tears horrible? It was horrible. But let me ask you a question. What percentage of the Indian culture was the Trail of Tears? It was less than 1%. And when we look at what we did to the Indians, the entire thing is based on that Trail of Tears. Now, there were some wicked leaders at the time, and there were people scared to death. Nothing makes people any more wicked than being scared. And because of a lot was going on, yeah, there was some really nasty things being done. There were settlers being burned out of their houses and people being scalped and all those things. But were all the Indians doing that? No. But neither were all the white people destroying all the Indians. And then I have to ask myself this other question. And this is what really first started this thought process with me a little bit. The Jews, after the Holocaust, when they formed the nation of Israel, when the nation of Israel was formed, they had the Six-Day War and all that that went on and what went on in the United Nations. When it was time for them to make their currency, were there pictures of Hitler on their currency? Uh-oh. Or any other people that had abused them and done what they'd done? Or they hated so dearly? You know they hated Hitler. They're deplorable. Were they putting him on their currency? Do you realize how much American currency has had Indians on it? Our first penny was an Indian head. Our first nickel was an Indian head and many other coins. You just go around this country and you don't have to go. Get out an atlas and figure out how many streets, villages, cities, towns, counties are named after Indian tribes. Now, if you hate people and you've done all these things to them, interesting. Are you going to put them on your currency? Are you going to name your villages and your towns after them? Are there going to be monuments that are 200 years old dedicated to these different Indian chiefs? You're not. Terry, we've been sold a bill of goods. Was there abuse? Absolutely. Is it horrible? Absolutely. Should they have been pushed the places they were? Absolutely not. But there was also good being done, and they weren't all hated, and we're not told about that. Is there abuse in this country of black people? Absolutely. But there's a whole lot of good being on, and there's a lot of love out there. You understand what I mean? There's a lot of wonderful black-white partnerships, companies, charities, ministries that go on every day. I don't see them on the news. All I see is the violence and the hatred. Let me give you another example. You can go back to the news again. We have violence happen all the time. I said this a week or two ago on the show. There are hundreds of Christians abused and killed every week in the world. Hundreds of them. You do not see it on the news. I'm just giving you a heads up on that one. Do we know that our news media is anti-Christian? Absolutely we do. Interesting that all of a sudden the Saudis seem to have abducted one of their own, and it sounds like maybe they killed him and did something with him. We have people being killed all over the place all the time. But because this is an election cycle and the news media despises the president, they have played this thing nonstop. And I was watching it this morning, and along with clips of what was going on, they kept showing clips of the president walking beside a Saudi. do you see the agenda and what's going on? Is it something that needs investigated yet? But does it need to dominate the news when one Saudi is killed by his own people in his own embassy? No. The news media is controlling the mindset of this country. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of good going on out there, and we're not hearing it. And people are being made to be angry. They're being made to be divisive, to dislike each other, to distrust each other. The hatred in this country is worse than I've seen it in a long time. And I honestly believe that it is being fueled much in part by what we're seeing on our news on a regular basis. And why, for one little old pastor from a small town in Ohio, I'm tired of seeing my brethren and people that I love being pulled apart by people with an agenda that don't know what the word love means. Love is reaching out and caring about the person beside you and your neighbor, not trying to get them at each other's throats. With that, folks, I'm going to close. What an interesting show. I guess I was kind of on a roll tonight, but I had to get this stuff off my chest. And I'll be honest, if this show is 2 hours more, I could keep going with example after example after example. How Democrats and Republicans are being conditioned to hate one another. How blacks and whites are, Hispanics, across the board. It is horrible. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the news media being the ones that are perpetrating this. And politicians are doing it. And it's just, I'm tired of it. I'm an American that loves my country, and I love the people in it. I love Democrats. I love Republicans. We're all God's children, for crying out loud. At least if we aren't, we should be, right? Huh? We all have an equal opportunity to be a child of God. You know, he died on a cross for the sins of the world. No one's better than anyone else. We got to stop this stuff. And recognize where the hatred's coming from and say enough is enough. I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker, Community Christian Fellowship. Call me anytime, 740-494-2222. We'd love to see you at church on Sunday, 209 East Water Street, Prospect, Ohio, at 10:30 regular service. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Be a friend.